Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hey, Jose, this is Aaron from Oklahoma. How's it going?
Hey, Aaron. You doing yourself?
I am doing excellent, actually. So your chat, again, pretty awesome. Did you anticipate some of those answers or were there things you were looking forward to or things that surprised you in some of the answers?
I was really surprised of the engagement. I didn't know if people would be tuned off or actually really care about entrepreneurship and education, because it's kind of something new that's going. There's something kind of new in education, especially in K-12. And so I didn't know whether or not teachers would even care to learn about this, but conversations, they were just going by. There was just so many answers that I could barely read any of them when I was looking at TweetDeck. I was just like, there was just so many answers coming in. And I had a number of questions I couldn't even ask. I couldn't even ask a lot of them because a lot of them were being answered or just the answers just kept coming in.
Yeah, for sure. Did you go back and read through some of them after the chat was over?
I looked at some of them, and again, this is like very engaging questions. And I think that even within the chat, people were like, you know, replying to each other's answers and saying, you know, and I kind of liked that, how they were just like replying to one another instead of just the actual question.
Absolutely. So what do you think would be the role in education for entrepreneurship? Does it have a place? Where do you think that place is?
I think it does have a place in education. I think it should be its own separate. I don't think it should be mixed with another subject, just like how some people think that personal finance should be mixed in with another subject, like math or social studies or of that sort. I think entrepreneurship has its own place in education, and I think it should be something that should be taught to students, because I don't think every student... I don't think every student wants to necessarily just go straight to college. Maybe they do have that business savviness to start their own business after college or during college, whichever. And I think entrepreneurship does teach some skills that every student could benefit from, so like knowing how to give an elevator pitch, which they can use for their own career, like how do I, you know, sell myself and when I meet an executive from a company or a principal from a school or, you know, whatever it may be, knowing how to do research in terms of, you know, what businesses are thriving, what are falling, and also know how to do marketing research. So I think there's some things in entrepreneurship that every student can benefit. But of course, not everyone can be like a Bill Gates or a Mark Zuckerberg, though.
So I saw several answers, and there was a little bit of a banter back and forth. Does entrepreneurship have anything to do with money? Why or why not?
I think there's people get wrong about money and entrepreneurship. Yes, money has to do with entrepreneurship because, of course, that's how you see, does a market even care about my product or service? That's how you measure success, really. That's what entrepreneurs do. They don't look at money as a way to spend it on their own glamorous lifestyle. They look at money as a way to, okay, you know what? People are liking my product or service. Therefore, I need to expand more or make it better or invest more in innovation and R&D, research and development. So money is just a way to measure your success in terms of your product or service. But of course, when you're an entrepreneur, it's not always about, oh, I need to become the next billionaire. And when you read the biographies of successful entrepreneurs, like, they're like the celebrity ones that we hear about all the time. It's like they can care less about, you know, buying a Lamborghini. They just look at money as just a way of man, you know what, my product or service is successful, and here's the money to prove it, but because people are buying it or, you know, using my money service. So, yeah, you do, of course, need money because cash is king in business, but it's just a way of measuring the success of your business, not so much your lifestyle.
Okay. All right. So what was your favorite question of the night? What was one that like that you were hoping to really see some rich answers coming from?
I think the one that, well, it's kind of hard to say, but I think the one that really got to the one that I found really puzzling to me was the one when I asked, you know, would you trade your teaching subject? And I'm just paraphrasing the question. Would you trade your teaching subject to entrepreneurship if you know you didn't have to do any standardized testing for it?
And I said yes yesterday.
What was that?
I said yesterday.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was just like, yeah. And but a lot of the teachers are like, no, I would not. But then it's like, okay, but I hear a lot of complaining about standardized testing, and here's an opportunity to get away from that. But you still wouldn't trade it. I mean, maybe because it's entrepreneurship. Maybe if I said some other subject, I don't know. Maybe you could have to get some answers. But it's just puzzling to me that, you know, and just from the answer that I looked at, again, I couldn't look at all the recent one, but just from the one that I did get a chance to see, man, it's like, no, I would stick with my subject in that trade to entrepreneurship, which is, well, how do you test it? How do you measure success for entrepreneurship? So that's the one question I really wanted to see the answer to, and I was just really amazed at the answers about that question.
Yeah. In my world, we are paid on performance. The performance side of standardized testing has damages if, you know, I'm not up to par. I'm not too worried about it, but shoot, in my world, it would be beautiful to take some of that stress off sometimes. Who comes up with the standards? Are there standards out there for teaching entrepreneurship yet? Because I was just saying, I mean, I said in the chat, the state's not doing a great job at making money. Are we relying on them to come up with standards for this, or do they exist out there somewhere?
Well, in terms of standards, there is one online. I looked at one. It was an old. There are standards for it in terms of what should be taught. You know, there's textbooks already out there, mostly in the higher education level. Not so much. At the K-12 level, Junior Achievement does have some sort of entrepreneurship material, and they provide some type of standard for it. NESI, which I don't recall what it actually stands for, but it is like it's like a national entrepreneurship curriculum.
Okay,
they have standards, but of course with that one you kind of have to pay for the training or some sort. So there's like it's not ultimately free. So there are standards out there for entrepreneurship that, you know, of course, so it's teachers or instructors, educators can follow. But it's something kind of new in the education realm. So it's not like, you know, you won't see standards out there, like set standards like any language arts or social studies at the moment. But, you know, it's coming along.
Good. All right. I was a Junior Achievements kid, and I don't know what happened after I left Bartlesville Mid High School, but I do know that my class at Bartlesville Mid High School had the highest revenue sales in their little t-shirt shop, basically. We came up with a new design for our year, and that was the year that boxer shorts were super cool to wear back in the, I'm not going to tell my age, but... boxer shorts were super cool to sell, so we made boxer shorts. We basically adapted to fit the needs and the demands of the trends at the time, which was one of the first times our class had done that, and it went gangbusters. I mean, everybody loved it. I was a Junior Achievements kid, and I definitely have been hit by the entrepreneurship bug. I like playing around with supply, demand. I like playing around with innovation. And my husband says if I could just figure out a way to make money at it, we could quit our jobs.
Yeah, I think once somebody gets a little bit of experience, I think they just focus on the adrenaline of not so much becoming ultimately rich, but just like, you know, how can I make more sales? How can I expand? You know, what can I do better today than I did yesterday? Or, you know, how can I better myself today so tomorrow's a better day?
Khan Academy has a new course out there for entrepreneurship, and they are, it's basically Sal Khan interviewing like Elon Musk and Richard Branson and people like this. they've created a new tab on entrepreneurship. So this, I mean, I think your timing of this chat was impeccable. And I can't wait to see more. I mean, I really do. I would love to talk more entrepreneurship and education.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always up for it. I always love talking about that subject, especially in education and K-12 and higher ed, and how teachers can be their own entrepreneurs themselves. And I did look at that Khan Academy stuff. I think it's wonderful to hear those interviews and that kind of what Khan Academy is doing with entrepreneurship. So I honestly think it does belong in K-12 education.
Excellent. Well, as always, I really appreciate speaking with you, and I can't wait to see what your next chat is about.
No, thank you.
Welcome back to Okla Said, the official Okla Ed podcast.
That's right.
Week 33 here, episode 33, and we're moving right along. I'm loving the chats that we've got going on right now. They're exciting, and it makes it fun to talk about, you know, here also.
It does. It's rather enjoyable, and I'm sorry that I ditched you last week, but life.
It's all right. It's all right.
So
I ditched you once before, and so...
And we're still friends.
We are still friends. So this week, we had your buddy join us.
Yeah, Jose. Man, I really like Jose. He's one of my good graduate student buddies. And he, let me tell you, he's got a passion for this financial literacy, in case you can't tell.
It came through pretty heavily here. So it was fun to participate in the chat. And then it was also fun to speak with him, you know, afterwards to find out how things went. Entrepreneurship, that's something that I want to know about. My husband says, if I could just make money at all of the extra things that I do in education, it would be really helpful, you know? And so it was definitely something that that I was looking to take part in.
The whole give it away for free bit.
Yeah. My husband's like, if you had just, I know. But we're poor. Teachers are poor in this state.
Maybe not poor, but not well compensated.
There you go. You're right. That was a poor choice of words. Well, entrepreneurship in the classroom, question one.
Let's do.
All right. What is the purpose of education?
Cheating.
And I kind of thought this was going to be a trick question. Exactly. What's the purpose of education, Scott?
Jose, and I tweeted him, we only have 140 characters.
Right. People have written dissertations on this, eh?
I would think. I don't know. I felt like the purpose of education, and my tweet was somewhere along the lines of as educators providing whoever it is that we're educating, the purpose of the education is to create an individual who can discern fact from non-fact, and who continues to try and understand and construct new meaning and new knowledge. Something along those lines, I think, is what I said.
Wow, that fact from non-fact thing is probably very difficult in today's climate with alternative facts and fake news and
all super of the- important. But think about what you're doing when you're teaching a kid in English class subject-verb. There's a fact, an understood fact of subject here, verb here, adjective here. That doesn't ever change, ever.
No, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And so I think the purpose of education too is to just, even if high school graduation is not your goal, we still have to make citizens out of students.
So
learning to navigate with your peers and become, you know, citizens of this world. So that's, I don't know. But I felt like there was a jack going to pop out of a box somewhere with this question.
I was waiting on somebody to write a whole big, huge, long note on their phone and screen cap that as the tweet.
Been known to do that before. I went with Andy McNair on this one, and Andy's Twitter is @McNairian3. So Andy said, to engage and empower learners to be innovative problem solvers as they pursue their passions outside of education.
Right.
And
on.
That was kind of close to what I was thinking, so I liked Andy's answer there.
Yeah, it was good. I went with Mrs. Waters, who is at Waters English. She said education helps students learn to think for and learn about themselves and the world so they can better our societies.
Yeah, and so I think Miss Waters is on the same track, too.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Question two, how do you define entrepreneurship?
So this question caused a lot of side conversations. I don't know if you know that. And prompted one of my questions to Jose as well. Like, defining entrepreneurship is finding a need, addressing the need and innovating in a way that makes you relevant or your product relevant while also making money. Mm-hmm. And that was my definition of it. But there were several people who thought money doesn't have to be a part of this equation.
Right.
And I guess I had never thought about entrepreneurship being any different. I assumed you'd want to make a living doing, you know, whatever it is that you're innovating or whatever. But
right. And I think my understanding of entrepreneurs is similar in that I'm creating a product that meets a need that I can earn money from in some fashion.
Yeah.
Whether it pays for the products. Right. Right. It may just be a straight wash, but there's some sort of transactional situation occurring because of something I've created.
Sure. Yeah. So I went with Shane A. Sanders on this one, and Shane's Twitter handle is at @edu_Sanders70. And his answer to question number two was failure should be seen as another opportunity to find perfection. I've learned, I have grown way more from my mistakes versus my failures. And I think that this is a perfect answer to not really define entrepreneurship, but kind of explain a little bit of entrepreneurship, because it is hard work being an entrepreneur. You probably are going to fail, and we like, you know, discussing failure anyway, but I really like Shane's answer here, not really defining mm-hmm. entrepreneurship, but a little bit, I mean, because failure versus success, mistakes versus, overcoming, they all have something to do with entrepreneurship. You're probably not getting it right the very first time you go out there and try it.
Oh, right, yeah. Hey, Aaron, what am I holding up right now?
That looks like an iPhone 7.
Yeah. It's an iPhone, not a 7, but it's an iPhone. And guess what? Steve Jobs fell out of favor in his company and had to get back. I mean, talk about an entrepreneur who failed a couple times. I mean, gee whiz. And now you're probably listening to this on some sort of Apple-y thing, maybe.
Well, and even if it's not an Apple-y thing, you know that there have been how many iterations of an Apple-y thing.
Right.
Even Apple themselves are innovating and making greater, and you can't just stop where you're at or you're going to fall out of need.
And the same thing with Android and other things. I mean, failures, and those guys are entrepreneurs, but they failed along the way. Like, they had that whole series of Android phones are like, nope. We're pulling them off the shelf.
Oh, yeah. I mean, phones that blow up on people.
Yeah. So I went with Robert Franklin. He is at Franklin MPH. He said, thinking, planning, innovating with a keen sense of scaling up to solve problems and perhaps influence the bottom line, dollars.
I like that. I like the keen sense right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great answer there, Franklin. Well, question three. Do you agree with Andrew Yang when he says schools tolerate failure?
Schools don't.
Wait, schools don't tolerate failure. Our students can't accept it. If so, why or why not?
Right.
And that was another one. I thought, man, 140 characters. You're not giving me a whole lot of room here.
So
what do you think? Do you agree with that? Schools don't tolerate failure. Our students can't accept it.
I think schools have a culture as we move up. So I think there's lots of failure in younger grades, but as we move up, I think the school culture is this performance failed. Don't do it. Don't fail again. Don't fail again. Don't fail again.
Right.
And then because of that message, what gets out to students is I can't handle the failure. Like, I am only going to do safe things. And so I think that's I think there's that culture there of that. I mean, what do I tell my own kids when they come home? Don't you dare fail that test. You're smart enough to not fail that test. Quit bringing home these. I mean, I do it at home too. But
yeah,
we have the our whole structure is set up on that. I mean, look at our grade scale in most schools.
I know.
The fail part is 59 points of the 100. That's way more than half. The thing is, though,
we embrace failure maybe at a granular level of, okay, you failed on this problem. Let's find out where we failed and succeed on the next problem. Like, mm-hmm. we embrace that failure a little bit, but yeah, when the marbles are in, you don't want to drop the marbles, right?
No.
I mean, if you are, when it's the all-encompassing grade, you better not fail.
Right.
What percentage of, I mean, how many teachers do you think participate on average with Okla Ed? Hold on one second. I'm so sorry. The male guy is here. One sec.
Male.
Girls? Thank you. And what percentage of teachers do you think participate in, I don't even want to say percentage. What is our average participation weekly? Do you know about how many teachers participate in the Okla Ed chat?
200-ish.
200-ish. And I know some of those teachers are out of the state. What? How many teachers are across our state?
I don't know. I did know because I was looking at some Twitter data on all of that where they had pulled numbers.
What's the percentage, would you say, of people that participate in Okla Ed?
Less than five. Yeah.
So my question is, I know we can sometimes be a sounding board for each other,
right.
and we embrace failure.
Right.
How on board with failing is Oklahoma on a whole versus Okla Ed? Maybe are we really behind in Oklahoma versus what we say to each other in these Oklahoma chats, these Okla Ed chats?
I don't know. That's a good question. And how much of that is driven by law?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously this discussion around question three probably lasted a lot longer than mm-hmm. we needed to, but it is when you start thinking about quotes that go around failure and schools can't tolerate it, students can't accept it, that to me seems like, in the last couple of years, we've talked a lot about growth mindset.
Right.
And so it seems anti-growth mindset to me, this quote. Anyway, that all food for thought, I'm sure. But I went with Steve Gilliland here. He said, failure is only final for quitters. Failing is a valuable part of the learning process. We've all failed at some point.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Love it. And I like that.
I went with Jill, who is at Ms. Jill Slay 11. She said, to students, failure equals grades rather than the pursuit of trying different ways to achieve a given outcome. Need to change the narrative. I like this because I really think, and we've talked about it.
Yeah.
I can be a valedictorian by going through school at certain schools in our state and not take a single advanced placement or international baccalaureate class.
Yeah.
And does that put me on the same valedictorian scale as the person that's all they took?
In some schools it does.
You know, because maybe I didn't want to try one of those harder classes and fail at it by getting a B.
Right.
So I don't know. And so that's what I think. We've tied so much of that failure into grades. We AR test them when they're little. We RSA test them when they're in third grade. We have all these tests all along the way that you cannot fail. So what's our message to our kids? Don't fail. I don't know. Okay.
But done. Yet they're still supposed to embrace failure.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, it really is a double-edged sword. So, question there, Jose, lots of discussion. We could probably have a whole chat around that discussion. That one question.
We should. Question four. Should schools have a role in teaching entrepreneurship, or is it something best learned outside the classroom?
So I thought answers to this one were pretty varied out there as well. There were several people that said, no, leave it alone. Several people said, yes.
Yeah.
I went with yes and then changed it to no based on some variables. I would love to teach entrepreneurship and we'll get there. But I went with John Ben here, who is at JCBJR. Oh, no, it can and should happen in schools, starting with entrepreneurial learning, self-controlled, but facilitate, not teach.
Yeah.
Because it would be hard to teach. And there are certain skill sets, I think, that belong to certain entrepreneurs. And maybe, you know, I mean, if you don't have growth mindset as one of your high skill sets, and it's not a skill. I mean, if growth mindset is not high in your to-do list, then it's probably going to be hard to be an entrepreneur.
Right. I agree.
You know? And then I said, who's coming up with the standards? Like, if Oklahoma's coming up with standards, it has no business in our school systems.
Yeah. Can we standardize test that? Sorry. No. Oh, no. Sorry.
Can't because like, Oklahoma's not doing great at making money. So, and in my brain, entrepreneurship and money were tied together. So if Oklahoma's coming up with the standards, no, I don't want to teach my kids entrepreneurship because we're not great at making money.
Well, I think there's some things in there to consider, you know, should schools teach it? That could get into the whole religion situation. Should schools teach religion? You know what I'm saying? Like, some people are really passionate on certain things. And, oh, no, you're not teaching my kid that kind of – I mean, some sort of economic theory has got to come up at some point, right?
Well, economic theory – I mean, well, and you're going to have to decide whether your product is free for all.
Right.
Whether your product is free for a certain class, whether everybody pays the same regardless. I mean, then you're talking about, you know, social capital. You know, you've got all kinds of things that go with this. I mean, that's a can of worms. It could be, you know.
Yeah. I mean, just depending on – we live in a quite conservative state. And sometimes when you're talking about business and things like that, you talk about things that other people don't want their kids to learn. I mean, I don't know. It's a sticky wicket. But I don't know. I think that if we have a good, robust business selection of courses through there, you know, through a high school, I think you would develop some entrepreneurship type of items. Or I even saw some tweets where let's cross curricular that. And also too, I look back at my time at Emma Memorial. There's a lot of stuff that the Stuco did through leadership and through things like that that could be viewed as entrepreneurship in what they were trying to do and create, because they're trying to sell certain things to the student population, whether they had to buy those things or not. They're selling ideas. They're selling a mode of thought. They're selling a culture that you have to buy into. That's sort of entrepreneurial-y.
Yeah. Well, and I told Jose, and you weren't a part of the conversation, but I was a junior achievements kid, and we called it mid-high. I think a lot of people call it junior high. Maybe it's a Bartlesville thing, but I know that when we were doing it, they had only ever sold t-shirts before. Mm-hmm. Well, whenever I was at the mid-high, that was kind of the year that girls were wearing boxer shorts as clothing items.
Oh,
I know. So you can put a date in there somewhere if you want to try to guess, you know, where I'm at.
The 90s.
But boxer shorts were super cool. We added boxer shorts to our t-shirts and kind of tweaked the Bartlesville High School logo a little bit. And we had more sales than any other JA class before us. Now, I don't know what's gone on behind us, and maybe somebody's got fidget spinners now. And they're the highest selling, you know, class around. But that was one thing that we did, and I took great pride in being a part of that JA group and having that little honor attached to us. So,
yeah, good deal.
You know, you can create little business-minded people in school with some of these programs. And I loved it. It was one of my favorite classes and still is to date, you know?
Yeah. So I went with Todd Gregg, who is at Matthew T. Gregg. He said, schools should definitely teach entrepreneurship. I think the hashtag Genius Hour mode is a great way to make an entrepreneurship lab.
And so, and then I had a question here also. Does intellectual property come into play if something is created and goes gangbusters, you know, but it was created at school? Does the school have a stake? I mean, who gets
can of
money?
Worms. Can of worms, Aaron. Can of worms.
Oh, gosh. See, and so do you do entrepreneurship? So anyway, it was all of these were great questions, in my opinion, and could have, again, been a whole chat themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Q5.
So, question five, would you encourage or discourage a student from starting a, from pursuing a startup venture instead of going to college? In my opinion, if the student's coming to me and looking for that advice, I'm going to have some follow-up questions. I mean, it depends on the startup. It depends on how much, you know, research they've got. If they've got all their ducks in a row and it looks like a great, you know, business venture, go for it, buddy. I don't know why we have to start college at 18 or at 19 or, you know, I have no idea why that has to be done. I didn't go back to school until I was in my late 20s, you know? So it doesn't mean that you're any less successful starting school later. And if you want to do a business startup, gosh, what if that was the next Macintosh?
Right. I mean, if you've got, if you're super passionate about something, you got a plan for it. Why not pursue that?
Why not? Yeah. So I went with Todd Gregg on this one. And Todd said, I would encourage them to do both. But if not feasible, I would definitely evaluate the plan and give honest feedback. If good enough, then yes, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You chose two. What was your second one?
Oh, yes. So Kevin O'Neill Ray, who is at KO_Ray, said, I would encourage students to analyze their financial situation mathematically so that if they so that they have a clearer picture. That, I thought, was excellent also, because a business venture, depending on, I mean, if it's an app, there's not a whole lot of cost associated with creating an app.
Right.
If it's a pest control company, which, so, I mean, in college, my husband and I tried to start up a pest control company. There weren't a lot of them in Stillwater. We tried to start one up. There's a lot of capital you have to put in before you can get anything back.
Right.
And, you know, buying the truck, buying the tanks, buying the, you know, stuff before buying the pesticides, getting the tests. There's a lot of things you have to put in before you start getting that money back at $35 per house or $45 per house or whatever. That
at X
you
number
need to
of
decide
houses
if,
just to break even.
Yes. Yes. You need to decide if it is worth it to you. And if you even have the financial situation to take something on like that.
Yeah, those are
good. I thought
that
was a great question. I mean, a great answer.
I went with Julianne Hennessy here and forgot to copy her at, but she said college isn't the be all end all for every student. It's our job to prepare our students to be college ready, but also encourage their passions.
Indeed. Indeed. Oh, and there are different routes.
She is at Miss Hen OKC.
Perfect. Thank you for finding that.
Yes, you're welcome.
So
Q6. Should entrepreneurship courses be offered as required or elective courses? And I, man, this is where I have like an internal struggle with mandating courses to be required or not.
Yeah.
Should you take math all 4 years? Well, hell yeah. I'm a math teacher. You need to take six math courses in 4 years. But the English teacher is going to go, no, we don't need that. We need at least 6 years of English. I mean, we have our passions. And gosh, so I don't know. Mandating something has to happen, that's, to my mind at least, a big deal.
I'm always for less government and less. this seems like if you're going to require it, it's just, I don't know. I want my autonomy. Give me my elective choices. And I would probably take that as an elective and love it. But I don't think every kid should be required to take it. So
right. I agree. So, some are going to already know. They already have a passion for that thing. They want to know how to do it.
Photography.
Yeah.
Where is their passion, you know, for photography going to fit in?
Right.
And sometimes those elective courses are what keeps a kid motivated in school. And so just mandating one more thing is going to kill education someday. It really will kill education someday with all the mandates.
Words. Who'd you pick?
Well, I went with Steve Gilliland on this one as well. Tradition says electives. Tradition may be part of the problem, though, in my opinion. education can't be prepackaged for everyone. And so I liked that because it felt like the internal struggle was going on in this tweet as well.
Right. Not every fourth grader that walks into that building is the exact size, exact same shape, exact same color, exact same cognitive skills.
Yeah.
We all be different.
Yep.
So I went with Mr. Dalton Savage, and he said it should be integrated into the everyday classroom. If it were integrated cross-curricular, it would be really beneficial.
Yeah.
So that's where maybe your business class could work with your social studies folks, could work with your English folks, could work with your math folks.
Yep.
And put a whole big unit together. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that I think that that's a fabulous idea. So question seven, would you trade your teaching subject to entrepreneurship if you did not have to do any type of standardized testing? Okay. This question, I wanted to call bullcrap on several people, but I didn't. Because it's a, I mean, for no other reason than to get out of standardized testing. How many complaints over standardized testing are there? For just to get out of standardized testing? Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
No standardized testing here.
I'll do it twice.
I'll teach. I know. I said yesterday. But there were people, and maybe they're right. Maybe I am going to hear it in, you know, the comments, or maybe we lose a follower. Sorry, Mom. But
dang it, down to five.
I know. There were so many people who were like, no way, I love my whatever. And I get it, and you do. And I'm not saying you have to give it up totally, but to get out of standardized testing, heck yeah, I'd do it. Anyway, I went with Dr. Jason James on this one, and he is at James409. Jason, he says, we can't teach entrepreneurship in Oklahoma. Ed, how do you standardize test that, said the current Oklahoma legislative member.
I saw that tweet, and I may have giggled something out of my nose.
Yeah.
Because it was really, he's right. I mean, he's right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, in my response to this was I would teach it, although I'm probably not the right person for it.
Yeah, I've got I like being of this mind, and so I've had 4 different startups that we've done.
Okay.
Between my husband and I, and a couple of them were okay. They made themselves, you know, stable. There was no real money making at it. And several of them were just complete and utter failures. But I will try again. I mean, I will always try. If there's a way to innovate and possibly make money at it, I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of the entrepreneurship class.
Good deal. I went with Susan Ray, who is at Susan Ray. She said, I would not change what I do, but I will change a part of what I do. I'll explore ways to incorporate it into my classroom. I can go for
yeah.
that. So, you
yeah.
know, so we have our things. And if I love Algebra 2 and it's a tested thing, I may not want to give up Algebra 2. I may be really good at teaching algebra. You know what I'm saying? So I sort
right.
of get it.
But to give up the standardized testing, that was all he was asking. Mm-hmm. He's not saying you can't teach Algebra 2.
Right.
But just to get out of the standard. And that's the way I read it.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Maybe I'm crazy there.
Yeah.
I am crazy. Sorry.
You may be right.
Probably wrong.
Question 8.
Yeah.
A school can teach about entrepreneurship, but it is far from certain that a school can teach a person to be an entrepreneur? Is it far from certain?
Great.
I don't agree, disagree.
Gosh. I don't think every person's cut out to be an entrepreneur.
I agree. I've spent a lot of time on the sideline of a soccer field.
Okay.
And I had kids that were competitive. And
okay.
You would just drop the ball on the field and they were like, damn it, I'm going to kick your butt. And off they would go. And I had other kids where I'd drop the ball on the soccer field and they'd be like, I'm going to work as hard as I can, but you know. And we used to have these conversations all the time about that inner competitiveness. Can you teach it? Can you teach it?
Yeah.
Or not?
I mean, that's hard.
And I think
it's hard.
I view entrepreneurship the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I think some people innately have that desire to go. They see it. They want to do it. They've got plans for it. And other people are like, I mean, I can, but you know.
So that's part of the reason I chose Mr. Hartford, and he is at Hartford Jimmy. It says, it depends on what we mean by entrepreneurship and the scope of what you're teaching. You can teach perseverance, but you can't teach competitiveness.
Right. And that was the conversation that we had a lot on our sideline. And I kind of agree with that. And I think competitiveness can come, but I can't teach you, Aaron, to have it. But I think you can develop it over time.
Sure. But what motivates me might not motivate you.
Right.
And so if we both created the same kind of startup, you know, we may interpret success differently. We may interpret entrepreneurship differently. There are just so many little offshoots here. It would be pretty darn difficult.
Rachel Terry, who is at RachTerry1006, she said, agree. Some people have that instinct and others don't. You can learn more on how to expand it, but you can't learn how to have it.
Ooh, that was good. That was good.
So there you go. Entrepreneuring.
What was your favorite question, Scott?
I liked that last one because I really think it's something. And I think At Waters English said something along the lines of, I wasn't very competitive when I was younger, but now I bring it. Like, I'll take it to you. So I think it just gives us something to think about. We're all different. Like I may be super competitive in one thing, but in another space, I'm like, meh.
Yeah. I went with question four just because I liked all the different sidebar conversations that were happening. And it was the one question that I said this, and then I kind of changed my mind to that.
Right.
So I could see both sides of the fence on it. And it was, should schools have a role in teaching entrepreneurship, or is it something that's best learned outside of the classroom?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I didn't pick a boom sauce tweet here.
But
if I were going to pick one, it'd be Jason James's.
Yeah, his was really good.
So my big sauce.
I went with DJ Thorensen, who said, failure isn't a reason to applaud. Overcoming failure is. Bam! I think I boom sauced it right off the bat.
Yeah, you said, that's mine. Yeah. And you got me. And I was like, just kidding. It's already in my.
So there you go.
Yeah. Next week, we have Good PD. Wanted, Dead or Alive. And the K20 Center's bringing that one to us.
Yep.
That'll be exciting.
Should be fun and exciting. Our Okla Ed buddy, Bridges Tyler, is there. And our Okla Ed buddy, Ann Beck, is there. So
Yes.
Should be a good... And I think we promoted them a couple weeks ago before we got an updated schedule.
Yep. I think you're right.
There you go. Twice promoted.
And that will take place
at 8 p.m. on Sunday.
That's right.
It's going to take place at 8 p.m. on Sunday. And whenever you're listening to this, it could be last Sunday or a year ago.
It's taking place, Sunday at 8.
But Sunday at 8, that's when it happens.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Yes.
That was hard, sir.
It's like having a conversation with yourself.
Well, you want to go? You want to do it? You want to podcast?
Only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma.